This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, coming in from the TK and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio, who understands it's not just a mortgage, it is your mortgage. That's the different Rocket Mortgage push button. Get mortgage on this football Friday. And I'll tell you what, Kansas City Chiefs fans were doing a whole lot of yelling last night. A little more under control today. Mm-hmm. You just heard the update there from Jay Berman. It obviously is the dislocated kneecap, as we thought. But no further damage. It could have been the end of the season.
Yep.
He'll seek a second opinion. He's not going to play for at least 3 weeks, probably more in the realm of four. Disaster averted, but this changes a lot.
Yeah, it does. Look, they didn't look nearly like the same team after he went down, and Matt Moore had that one big play to Tyreek Hill, which looked like a busted play, but whatever. It was a touchdown to put the game out of reach, and they didn't have to. They basically were on cruise control from then on out. But without Pat Mahomes, this Kansas City Chiefs team is not as nearly as good, even though defensively they played a game for the first time all season that felt complete.
So yeah.
Now, part of that's because Denver's offensive line is so garbage.
Denver's horrendous.
But they have 9 sacks, 8 on,
I think
eight
it was,
on
I think
Flacco.
It was 8 on Flacco, yeah.
Yep, 9 total. Which is just embarrassing.
That is pitiful.
Part of it's on Flacco because he stands there like a statue and doesn't move. It's like, you guys are coming to hit me. I guess I got to get rid of the ball. Nobody's open. I'll just take the sack.
I got a serious question. Is there any football fan that enjoys watching Joe Flacco play football?
I mean,
is there, outside of the Flacco family,
is there anybody who
enjoys watching him play?
Maybe last week when they beat the LA Chargers, but
he
usually
is boring. He is slow. He is just nailed to the ground.
Just uninspiring.
Uninspiring.
And they said it often on the broadcast. Like, there's an escape lane right there. There's nobody open. Run through that lane right there. Go get 5 yards. He's just standing there. Come sack me. Yeah,
They're pretty wretched to watch when they're not rolling. And they're usually not rolling. Although they did have a couple of wins coming into the game. So let me ask you this, because this opens up so many different conversations. Now we just, based on their win against the Bears in London, we should be taking the Raiders far more seriously than we were coming into the season.
I think you have to, right?
You have to. And they've got a big one coming up this week. It's on CBS. So CBS is at Lambeau Field. The Packers and the Raiders. Obviously, Packers are rolling 5-1. The Raiders 3-2. Well-rested, coming off the bye. I mean, forget about the Chargers and forget about the Broncos. Is there a path now, if you look at the next month or so, for the Raiders to really stake a little claim to maybe win the division?
Maybe. It depends on how the Chiefs play without Pat Mahomes. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
He felt so dynamic and so different at the quarterback position. Now they fall back into that safe mode, so to speak. I wonder how frustrating it's going to get, not just for Andy Reid to not be able to have this full complement of play calls and options, and Eric Bieniemy, who's obviously the offensive coordinator, but also for Tyreek Hill, who you could see in the early part, really from the majority of the game until he scored a touchdown. He was frustrated. He had no catches until the third quarter.
I think he had one on the game.
It was a touchdown. Yeah. And so that type of frustration because Matt Moore can't get him the ball in the same way. It's like those are the things that we can't measure yet. And if they go south, then absolutely the Raiders have a chance. But if they stabilize in some way, somehow find a running game, because they have none right now, it's frustrating watching.
And they'll have less without the threat of Mahomes zinging at 80 yards on a fly.
I love Shady McCoy. It's frustrating watching him run at this diminished age.
How diminished is he?
Well, you know how
he's done?
I don't think he's done, because he can still be effective. Like, he's still a good athlete. But the things that he used to do, like that little shake and bake,
it
and he'd hold, it was like, man.
Yeah.
Now he does it, and it's like, he's like in half speed, and it's like, it looks, because it's ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
It gets like a yard instead of like 15, and so it's getting
frustrating. Was it like when Will Ferrell got hit with the dart?
That's right. Exactly. But the question you ask is about the Oakland Raiders. Yes, there is a path open. They got to take care of their own business, obviously. But Kansas City is on a little bit of a shelf right now where if they fall off it, then someone can jump in and fill the void.
Listen, I still think, and it's our poll question, by the way, so let me give this to you first before I finish that thought. So with Kansas City riding a two-game skid and the significant decrease in I'm sorry, this was yesterday. It's my bad. That was pinned to the top of our page. I know that didn't. All right, so coupling Mahomes' injury with the improved play by Oakland, will the Raiders actually win the AFC West, yes or no? I would vote no still. I would personally vote no still because I don't think they beat the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, although I do think they hang around. I'm not saying they're going to Lambeau to get blown out. I think they're pretty good and far more viable than I gave them credit for. I think I was just way off on the Raiders, and that's on me.
Yeah.
But I think they hang around. I think they compete, but I do think they walk off with their third loss. They'll be 3-3, I think. But what's happening now, forget about the AFC West here. What's really in play, there's a good chance, you know, Chiefs probably still find a way to win the AFC West.
Yep.
They're playing wild card weekend.
I know.
Because you start to now look at Patriots are going to have 13 wins.
Right.
Maybe 14, maybe 50, maybe 60. Maybe they don't never lose again. Who knows what happens with them, right? Although I think they might lose.
They're not going.
No, I know. They're probably going to go 13-3, 14-2.
What did I say? You asked me this at the beginning of the season, I believe. But it was just, I think it was a poll question. Can they go undefeated? I said they're going to lose one. They could go 15-1.
They very well could. So the Pats will be obviously well-rested. They'll lock up home field advantage throughout. They'll have a bye. So then you start to look at the other divisions here. And, you know, again, by virtue of the absence of Mahomes and expecting their next two games are brutal.
Yep.
I mean, they got the Vikings and the Minnesota.
They have the Packers and then the Vikings.
And
then they go to the Titans and then the Chargers.
Forget about the Titans, even with Tannehill. So they have a chance to win that game. But the point is that.
And they don't have a bye week until they have four games before
their bye week is at the end of November.
That's right.
I believe it's November 30th here. It's November 30th. So now you start to look at the way the other divisions are shaping up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't fully buy the Ravens big picture yet. Maybe I'll change my mind. But they're not going to win enough games, I don't think, to get a bye and to definitely host a game.
That's right.
In the divisional, if they're lucky enough to win wild card weekend. Everything changed for the Chiefs last night.
It did.
And everything changed for football.
Because the Texans seem to be in the driving seat. Obviously, they got a big game this weekend against the Colts. The Ravens are going the road. It's a non-conference tilt against the Seattle Seahawks. But if they go out there and mess around and win, then we start thinking differently about Lamar Jackson and this Ravens squad. But I think
Seattle hasn't played well at home either yet this year.
That's right.
They beat the Bengals by a point. It's
very hard to play in CenturyLink, but for some reason, people are playing well out in CenturyLink this season. But you're right. It could easily get away from the Chiefs. And if there's anything that they're thinking about right now, it's hold. It's like hold. You know, don't be aggressive. Just hold. Don't try to do too much. Just don't make mistakes. And that's what. And unfortunately, you hate to put Matt Moore in this category, but that's what he's going to be asked to do.
Yeah,
don't make mistakes. Give us a chance to win. And if we got to win close ones instead of scoring 40 points, mm-hmm. then we got to win close.
Yeah,
ones.
I don't like that recipe for their team.
I don't either.
If the Bills have to win that way, I'm okay with the Bills trying to win that way.
Maybe the encouragement, maybe the lift from the defensive performance last night, catalyzes something. I doubt it.
Maybe they just played the Broncos.
I think that's more of what it is. Yeah, I hear you.
Just played the Broncos.
They're going to go through a tough stretch right now because what they've counted on for the last two seasons is Pat Mahomes being a magician. Even when he's compromised physically like he was for the last few weeks, he's still found ways to put them in winning, positions. Matt Moore's not that. You could see it. It was anemic, their offense. And, without some big plays on the defensive side of the ball and short field position, this game is different. Oh, really, not even short field position. They scored on defense with the sack fumble that was a return for a touchdown. So without that, this Kansas City Chiefs team is in a hold position more than anything.
It's a different space, a space they haven't occupied for almost 2 years at this point. And, the thing about the NFL and – man, it's the unfortunate part of being a fan. It sucks. Mm-hmm. No other way to phrase it. But this doesn't happen in other sports. I mean, we're watching the Yankees. We'll do a little baseball later, obviously. You're watching the Yankees and the Astros. Giancarlo Stanton, he missed 130 games. The Yankees still won almost 110 yeah. games. You could lose your three hitter. You could lose an ace. You know, even Durant goes down and they had a puncher's chance. Klay Thompson goes down. They have a puncher's chance. In the NFL, you lose your quarterback or you lose the wrong guy. Mm-hmm. And maybe if it's that special defensive end, that but mostly quarterbacks.
Yep.
Teague, you go from a chance for the Super Bowl to hanging on for dear life, and probably it's not going to end up the way you want it to.
Yeah, now there's a couple teams that are defying that this year. The Carolina Panthers with Kyle Allen.
But they weren't so dependent on Cam.
Agreed. You're right. It was more dependent upon, you know, Christian McCaffrey.
Dump it up McCaffrey.
Agreed.
Make a miss.
90% of the plays. Give it to Christian McCaffrey. He'll make something happen. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though they're not blowing the world away right now, the Jaguars. But
they're 2-4.
Yeah,
2-4.
2-4. But they still feel like they're okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Gardner Minshew.
You think maybe we overreacted to the whole Minshew mania thing here? They're 2-4.
He's interesting.
He doesn't make mistakes. Yeah,
They're not winning.
No.
And so,
not with the Texans starting to pull away.
Exactly. So it's a different. But you're right.
For the most part,
you lose your quarterback, you don't really have
what
a shot.
What was it like? I'm trying to think. Guys that you played with. Now, granted, you never played with a Patty Mahomes. If you did, you'd have a couple championships. That's for sure. Guys that got hurt. Kerry Collins was healthy with you, right? Was healthy with
Alex,
you.
Kerry was healthy. Except for a couple of games.
But I mean, in terms never like where he was on crutches or, you know, seemingly lost for a month or two, right? He was relatively healthy with you guys. You played with Eli for a little bit. Eli, you know, a pillar of durability. We know that. Kerr played the 6-7, whatever it was. He was healthy. Dave Brown stunk, so you probably wish he wasn't playing. It didn't really matter. Kent Graham. Like, what is it like when a guy gets hurt? And you walk in, you might get through the game.
I was lucky. I was lucky. I never had that. But it happened at the end of a season for us 1 year, and I believe it was 2003.
Okay.
Maybe it was a bad year. But this was the Joe Horn cell phone game.
I always tell you about this.
Kerry Collins was hurt. Luke Pettigrew was hurt. Like two other offensive linemen were hurt. I think Imani was banged up as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Shockey was hurt. We had no chance, none. And you walk into the game knowing we have no chance of winning this football game. It's harsh.
You must have had a lot of space to operate that night.
I had none. I had absolutely. I think I had like five carries for like 10 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of my worst games of my career.
Yeah.
But it's disheartening, especially because you have a decent, you know, thought about yourself. And then to know that you don't,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to accept.
I can imagine. Yeah. And, you know, and it's not like they have the notion, like, in the back of their minds where they can tap into, like, a championship from last year
mm-hmm.
or championship. They, in their minds, they still don't know if they can get past the Pats.
That's right.
And now, you know, the goal was, let's take that next. And it's never incremental. It's very rarely incremental progress in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
you know, where – you know, you're 9-7, you win, and then the next year you go like 10, and maybe you win a bad division. Then the next year you go 13-3. Like, it's never like step by step by step by step. It's usually step, leap, step,
yeah.
whatever. It changes a lot. And you know what? But at least from the football fans' point of view, you know, that's you don't want to see anybody get hurt, but is it fair to say that's the last guy you want to see get hurt in the NFL?
Well, not just for the Chiefs, just for the league, for viewership, for fandom. Yeah, for the league. I think you're right. It's like when Aaron Rodgers would go down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just, God, we're just missing out on watching something special. And look, he'll be back. He's lucky. It's interesting because when the injury happened, you couldn't notice. Like, it was nothing acute.
No.
It wasn't like, man, his ankle got rolled up, or man, did you see how his knee buckled? It wasn't anything like that. So it was kind of like a subtle, like, dislocation.
I can't watch that anymore.
But it was like a subtle dislocation, it popped out, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like an acute dislocation,
mm-hmm.
which you worry about other things, you know, ligaments and other things tearing. And so when he got up and they popped it back in and he started walking, and then they showed him, you know, back in the tunnel, it's like, I think he's actually going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Where, to maybe come back in the game?
No, not come back in the game, but just be okay.
Yeah, I had a pretty good feeling.
Right?
I didn't feel like it was the end of the season, thank God. I felt the same way.
Yeah, and then also everyone was optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it in the locker room post-game. He was there post-game.
Yep.
And so
he was tweeting post-game.
They dodged a serious, serious bullet here
with
his health.
They really did. 1-855-212-4227. Can Kansas City hold off the Well, forget about the Broncos. Can they hold off the Raiders? You know, what does this do for the AFC here? We all thought maybe we need to really reassess how we view the Texans. Who is the team? You know, because there's no way the Chiefs will rip off their requisite amount of wins to host games for the AFC. If they even get that far, who is the team now that can possibly knock off the Pats? Who is it? And do you give the Raiders a chance to maybe steal the AFC West? 1-855-212-4227. Obviously a busy football Friday. Shaq Barrett of the Buccaneers will join us. We'll chat with him coming up in hour two. We'll do some baseball in hour two as well. We'll make our picks. Big college football weekend. A big game for Michigan. Big game for everybody. Say, oh, big game for Harbaugh. I got news for you.
Yeah.
Big game for Penn State.
It is.
Penn State's good.
I'll be there calling it for Compass Media.
See how I set you up, brother.
Look at that.
Actually, I didn't. That was unintentional.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to that one.
When do you leave tonight?
I'm leaving tomorrow because it's a 7 p.m. kick. It's a 3.5 hour drive, so I'll go out.
It's a 3.5 hour drive, and the last 3 hours are through the same road.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Oh, it's a twisting road.
I'll probably leave
there
at like noon to get there for a 7 o'clock game.
I got you.
But I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to see a game.
Happy Valley.
Penn State. It'll be a. Is it a whiteout game? I think it might be.
Yeah, most of the night games are. You're gonna love it up there.
Penn State has got a really tough defense. Michigan's is right up there with their defense. Both offenses are a little bit of a slog.
Penn State's gonna win this game.
But so much is at stake for both of these teams. Michigan with one loss, if they lose, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State with a win, it's seven. What are they? Seven right now? I think they're seven.
They're
in the AP,
in the country, yep.
Right? They can maybe push themselves
closer
to that college football playoff conversation.
No question.
But we'll see. Yeah, it's going to be a good one this Saturday.
If you're going to down a beer after the game, just don't go to the Ratskeller. That's where I got kicked out all those years. That bar, the Rats guy. I told you that story.
I'm going to kick the door in and be like, "This is for BT.
I'm back for revenge." All right, 1-855-212-4227 football. We dealt a big blow. We avoided a big blow last night. What do you do here? What do you make of the murkiness of the AFC outside of the Pats? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You ever get in your car and it just won't start? Yep, been there. Dead battery. And the last thing you want during the cold months is a dead battery. One out of four batteries will fail this winter. Will it be yours? Well, get it tested for free during Super Start Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the SuperStart battery just for your car, truck, or SUV. You know you can trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. They'll check your battery for free, but they'll also check your alternator and starter for free, and your wiper blades, bulbs, and engine lights, too. O'Reilly can resurface your drums and rotors, loan you tools, and build you a custom hydraulic hose. And did I mention they even mix paint? How cool is that? Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years, and so can you. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
All right, Football Friday here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money, just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And a 15-minute save 15% or more on car insurance. A little inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. Zion Williamson is not ready to start the season. That is one thing we'll debate in inbounds, out of bounds. A little something on the, on Kyler Murray as well. Actually, on Patrick Peterson, the Cardinals, their direction. A little something on the Yankees and the Astros. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So we'll get some of these calls. You obviously want to react to Mahomes going down. I couldn't help but think this last night. I don't know if it would have come to fruition. I don't know if he would fit his style. And I certainly was hoping that this would not even be an option because that would mean that he's out for the year. But if Mahomes was out for the year, and just suspend reality for a moment, they made a trade for Eli. Okay? Could you imagine if Eli beat the Pats again with a different team?
That'd be awesome.
Oh my
awesome
God. There what to, a way for him
if,
to go
if you,
out.
If you could script sports, which obviously you can't.
No.
That would be pretty amazing, but luckily he's going to be okay, Pat Mahomes.
He's
going to
be okay. Post-game, now again, this was before today's MRI, so Andy Reid didn't know exactly what kind of time frame, what kind of window he was staring at, but basically, bottom line is, next man up, Matt Moore, Patty Mahomes, we'll do what we have to do.
Whatever direction this thing goes, we'll be good. We got to work hard and do our thing, and then you trust whoever's in there, you roll with it. So you don't flinch on that.
Real quick before these calls here, Teague, did you have an issue with the quarterback sneak? I certainly did not. A lot of people are making a big. It's football.
No, it happened. I mean, you can't predict what happened. He fell wrong with somebody on top of
underneath them and on top of them, and it was just pressure, mm-hmm. right? It had nothing to do with anything. It could have happened in any different ways, many different ways. And like I said, the fact that it didn't happen acutely means that, you know, I don't even know what to make of it, but I no problem with this at all.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard all day, oh, it's such a reckless call.
He's 25 years old, man.
Exactly. Now, maybe if the offensive line could have squeezed out the yard the previous two plays, not that you assign blame to them. It's football. Things happen. But if old man Brady, and I say that with mm-hmm. a winking smile and nod of admiration, if old man Brady could do it every week,
yeah.
Patrick Mahomes could do it.
But by the way, this is why Brady wears knee braces on both of his knees. They don't go the wrong way.
True. He also snapped one back in the day, right. So that's other more motivation for it. What up, D-Cell?
No, it didn't. Ultimately end up being an ankle injury, which was what was bugging him going into this game.
It was the ankle,
yeah.
Correct.
So, given that this was a dislocated kneecap, it doesn't...
Well, it's not... So you're saying because it's not the same injury, there should be complete... You know, you should absolve the Chiefs from a questionable call.
Because of the result, yes, but knowing that he had the ankle issues...
Yeah.
Isn't that a questionable play call?
I don't think so. No. I mean, the guy that played, but I don't think so.
If you're playing, you got to take the risk of playing, yeah. no matter what the call is. You can't, because that's a disservice to the play caller. If you're saying, well, I can't do this. If you say you can't, if Pat Mahomes had said, hey, coach, I can't do this, then he wouldn't be out there.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he played last night was because he said, coach, I'm good.
Yeah.
Whatever you need me to do, I'll do. It's going to hurt, and ankle injuries, especially – what I think he had, which is like a high ankle sprain, it's mostly pain, right? Functionality is still there to mm-hmm. an extent, but it's the pain that you have to deal with. And he wants to deal with pain. It's what football players do, man.
It's what they do. Well said. All right, let's get the phone, see what up. Let's start down at Tampa, and Reggie's got us up on 10:40 a.m. Reggie is first up. Tiki and Tierney. What up, Reg? How you doing today?
Good, as I always say, thanks for educating and entertaining me on the way home. Three things real quickly, guys.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The first thing is BT.
Yeah.
At the U, where I play basketball, we have a club on we used to call the Rat Scaler. I've never been kicked out, but I have been carried out.
Also
the cheeks.
Hey, listen, Reg. Those college bars are very small, a little dark. A lot of things go down.
Hey.
and then real quick, my other two boys. All right. So, the Chiefs, what happened to Mahomes is horrible. However, here's the silver lining. I know my man was talking about the ankle. This is the way I look at it. Hopefully, it's not as bad once they get done with all the x-rays, examples, mm-hmm. MRI. The silver lining is that this will also give his ankle time to heal.
Good point.
And then in terms of who will challenge the Patriots, here, there's one team. I was going to say Baltimore, but I think that Belichick will design a game plan that will stymie Lamar at this point in his career.
I think you're right.
The odd one to me is the Texans, because they can play a little defense. The Achilles heel for the Patriots right now is their offense, and Deshaun has the ability to have one of those special games.
Yeah.
So those are my thoughts, guys. As always, man, love you guys. Love the show.
Appreciate you, Reg.
Penn State, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you. Now, look, Deshaun Watson's a good example because I think he's become more – like, it's interesting. Deshaun is in his fourth year now, right? So his first 3 years, I didn't look at him as a runner.
No.
Right? I didn't.
Except when he was running for his life because his offensive line was horrendous.
Yeah, he got sacked like 50 times the first three. I mean, maybe more. Running out of necessity. But I never looked at him that way.
No, I agree with that.
You're a pocket guy. You're a good leader. Guys love you. You put the ball where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if he's evolving into more of a runner. And it's enhancing his game. But it's not something that, you know, I'm putting at the top. What are the key attributes to Deshaun Watson? Right, I wouldn't have stuck runner at the top of the list. It would have been way down it.
When he first came in. I would have said
athlete, but I wouldn't have said, yeah, he's want to take off and go try to get 30 yards.
Yeah, right? Not
Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is that, right?
Yeah.
What's his biggest asset? This dude can go 60 on you.
Mm-hmm.
This dude can take it to the house at any point.
Yep.
It's almost number one for Lamar Jackson. I wouldn't have put it for Deshaun Watson. But now, after these first 6 weeks of the season, you've seen him almost deliberately be a runner. It's like he's advancing this edge of his game that's making him an even better player.
He's in the mix for the MVP. He's been phenomenal.
He has to be, right?
Russell Wilson's right there. Deshaun's right there. Christian McCaffrey's right there. I mean, there's been some star performances, as there always are, some absolute star performances so far in the NFL. All right, we see the calls. We'll get more, we promise. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up. We'll get back to the phones. We've got Shaq Barrett of the Bucks coming up in hour number two. We'll make our picks. College football. Tiki's doing the Penn State-Michigan game coming up this weekend in Happy Valley. The Astros on the precipice of going back to the World Series. Yankees have looked lifeless and completely disorganized. It's hard to look sloppy in baseball. Mm-hmm. You could look sloppy on a football field. 11 penalties, 3 fumbles. You could look sloppy in the NBA. You shoot 37%. You give up 130 points. You don't defend the rim. It's hard to look sloppy in baseball unless you just obviously visibly boot balls, which now they're doing. The Yankees look.
They look terrible. They look bad. And
they look terrible.
And worse. How many times have we seen them with the bases loaded, DC?
Oh, God almighty.
They're
one of 16.
1 for 16 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
One for 16.
They're not clutch.
They're not clutch.
We'll do baseball in an hour, too. But
it's frustrating, actually.
I am surprised how they're losing. I'm not surprised that they're losing.
True.
We knew Houston was better coming in.
True.
But, I mean, come on, man.
And an epically sad day for our good friend, CeCe, who goes
that
down.
That was horrendous. Go ahead, give him a couple words. That was horrendous.
No, he came in relief in the eighth inning and threw, five or six pitches.
Mm-hmm.
And then
got a pop out, too.
He got it out. He did. And then you saw it. Like, you saw it when he tried to. He always, pulls his shirt back.
He's always pulling
his shirt back, and he's trying to, just work it out. That's him working it out.
Yep.
And you could tell he couldn't work it out. And they just took him off of the roster.
Yep.
So his career is effectively over, and nobody wanted to see it go down like this. And, the fans knew it. Even the Houston Astros.
Oh, yeah. Garrett Cole was crying.
It. Yeah. They gave him a standing ovation. And, he hated to see him go out that way, but a heck of a career. Hall of Fame is next for him. But it just sucks to see him go out that way. And again,
it's the worst way to go out.
You can't script sports.
No, I tweeted that. I said, you know, you can't script sport, but if you can, we all would have authored a different ending for one of the all-time great teammates and a Hall of Fame pitcher for sure. I just wonder how much damage he did with that extra warm-up pitch because you could see him trying to shake it loose after the pop-up. And he knew he was hurt. He was walking around the mound. And as an athlete, you know when you're hurt. And really, he's been hurt for 4 years, maybe even 5.
Yeah.
And Joe Girardi broke down on the MLB Network last night. Incredibly poignant. I mean, told him he loved him. The love that CeCe has gotten speaks to his character.
Haven't gotten to know him over the last 5 or 6 years, it's hard not to love him.
He's the man. He is. He's been a great player and a really great guy. No, I knew that was going to hit you because obviously you're buddies with him. But, the Astros have one more win and we'll do a little more baseball in hour two. But Shaq Barrett, as I said, at 4 Eastern, inbounds, out of bounds.
All right, we're going to get to inbounds, out of bounds here in a second on Tiki and Tierney. First up, time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, here's how we do it. Just tweet your question. Go to CBS Sports Radio. The Twitter handle, @CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros and hit us up with something interesting. Teak and I will answer it a little later on in the show. Make sure you stick around for that. You might hear your name on the radio or see your name on TV. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Obviously, it's a football Friday. We started with what went down last night. The Chiefs over the inept Broncos without Mahomes for most of it. Rams and the Falcons is important for the Rams. Not so much. Falcons are on borrowed time. Dan Quinn's not going to survive this. They're done.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 1-5. They're cooked. Vikings and Lions is a big one. We'll obviously expand on those later. The Raiders and the Packers mentioned that. Saints and the Bears, Ravens and Seattle, and the Eagles and the Cowboys. A lot of division-defining games. Could be a big week.
No, it is going to be a big week. And even the ones that aren't division matchups like the Baltimore Ravens, the Seattle Seahawks that we talked about before have important, I think, consequences for both of those teams that are near or at the top of their respective divisions. Just one last thought on the Broncos before we get to inbounds, out of bounds, BT. Mm-hmm. How soon do you think we see Drew Locke?
He's not ready.
Not ready?
I don't think Dwayne Haskins, at all. Yeah.
I think you're right.
I mean, at least the one thing about the Broncos, they might not identify or draft the right quarterback. I'm not saying that Locke's the wrong one, but up until now, they've made a few reaches, a couple of swing and misses with Paxton Lynch. But at least they've got something that resembles a plan. Like there's still a semblance of acumen in the Broncos organization.
Yeah.
You can't say that for the Redskins. I certainly wouldn't say that. So
anything the way can happen in Haskins sports and like often part does. Part what's Mary, right? Part health, what's part wrong? Whatever, part and who's just man, crazy?
For sure.
We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now.
Here we go. So the Arizona Cardinals get ready to take on Tiki's Giants coming up this week.
You don't believe that.
I actually like the Giants in that game a lot. It might be part of my six-pack of picks. You have to stick around to find out. The Cardinals right now are on a two-game win streak. Surprisingly, pretty competitive. 2-3-1 on the season after a week one tie with Detroit. While rookie quarterback Kyler Murray is on pace for over 4,000 yards and 20 touchdowns, the defense is 30th in yards per game. And yards per game allowed, and also 29th in points allowed. So, obviously, it's not the balance you're looking for, especially for a young quarterback. Good news, however, is that all-pro corner Patrick Peterson, here he comes. He's back next week after a six-game suspension ends. And GM Steve Keim told the Doug and Wolf Show, this was on Arizona Sports 97.7, quote, "We are not trading Patrick Peterson. Why trade a player in his prime at one of the hardest positions or for maybe a couple of maybes in terms of draft equity," end quote. In or out, the Cardinals are smart to hold on to Peterson.
I think they are. I'm going to say inbounds of this, BT, mainly because, look, he's coming off the six-game suspension, so he's fresh-ish. And he's not doesn't have that usual wear and tear that comes with the early part of a football season. But just from a schematic standpoint, they've been thin at cornerback, and as a result, you know, Terrain Brock, who's better in the slot, has been forced to play outside. And so they're getting decimated in their slot. So I think just from a depth standpoint, it's good to hold on to a guy who at one point in his career, and probably still to an extent, is a shutdown corner and has a big impact on how opposing offenses call the games. But I think more importantly, this Cardinals team has like a, I don't know, there's like a fight in them. They're not great, obviously, but there's a fight in them. And I think if you had trade Patrick Peterson, you almost start to concede. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're at that point yet. So I'm going to say inbounds.
I'm going to say out of bounds here. I'm going to say out of bounds hard. You know, Patrick Peterson, he's been terrific, but going to be 30. You know, he's going to be 30 next season. And, you know, if the division was different, I might have a different answer, but you have to look at this. Let's see. The 49ers, with those horses up front in terms of defense, Garoppolo's young, their weapons are young, Shanahan's going nowhere. They're going to be good for a long time. As much as you can forecast future success in the NFL, you can do it with the 49ers. Same with Seattle, because Russell Wilson's a stud. They're not going to go anytime soon. And then you have the Rams. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly what their plan is. I see two or three plans within one, and I'm not so sure it works, but you have to at least give them a nod of respect because they've got some talent.
Yeah,
so
they were in the Super Bowl last year.
And they're in the Super Bowl, one of the worst Super Bowls we've ever seen, but they were in it. So I look at this and I say, well, even if you keep Patrick Peterson for a year or two, by the time they get that old line set up and the defense is tightened up, it's going to be 2 years down the road. Then he's 32. I'm not saying he's going to command what Ramsey commanded, two first-rounders and a middle-round pick, but you would get a first-rounder and a middle-round pick as well, and I would absolutely trade him. Now, I'm not going to give him away, but if somebody's knocking hard and they want him, you can have him.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, good news for the Cardinals, bad news for the Pelicans. Reports out of New Orleans say rookie phenom Zion Williamson will miss a couple of weeks of the regular season. All right, he's got a knee injury, so it's nothing, you know, no surgery, but it's a knee issue for a big man. Of course, we remember Zion missing time at Duke. He had knee issues there after his shoe popped against UNC. Zion currently listed at 6'7", 285.
Wow. Yeah.
In or out, the Pelicans must keep Zion's weight below 260 in order to keep him healthy.
I'm going
to
say inbounds of this, BT, and it's hard to do because he's a young kid and he still probably doesn't eat all the way right. And, you know, he's like new into money. He's can do whatever he wants right now. It's exciting.
Nutrition's never been like paramount.
No,
it's, you know, eat what you can at Duke.
When you're 18 years old, you eat whatever you want.
Yep.
You're outside moving and playing. You're playing a, you know, sport. Now you're a professional at a sport. You can eat whatever you want. But I want to say inbounds of this, BT, mainly because he's such an above-the-rim athlete. Mm-hmm. And the pounding that you take as a basketball player – doesn't subside. And, you know, the only question we had about Zion coming into the league was, you know, as a undersized power forward who wants to jump all the time, can he play 82 games at 100 and, or 200 and almost 90 pounds? Maybe if he grows a few inches, but I'm going to say inbounds of this. They gotta slim him down so that he can have less of an impact on his joints, particularly his knees and his ankles.
I'm going to say out of bounds only because I don't know if 260 is enough. I mean, this is a real problem.
It's interesting.
This is a real problem.
Interesting take. Go ahead.
You know, I mean, he played 1, 2, 3 minutes in the summer league, tweaked his knee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing with UNC, the sneaker exploded. That's, to me, that's a random element of randomness.
Yeah.
You know, here he is. We're getting ready. He's supposed to play at the Garden for the preseason finale. Not going to play. Not playing for a couple of weeks. And you have to wonder, like, every time he jumps and every time we go, ooh, or ah, that is one less jump that he's got in that frame, that body, that explosive body right now. And, you know, even if he is 260, again, 260, 6'7", 260, that's a lot of weight. And, you know, Barkley learned how to shoot at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody references Charles Barkley with Zion in terms of comp there, body type. Charles was putting up threes with the Suns when he won the MVP and with Kevin Johnson and that crew and Dan Morley and everybody. I'm really worried about him.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm so worried about him. Remember how distraught I was when we didn't get the first overall pick, the Knicks? I'm almost kind of happy we didn't. Because I don't know. If you're hurt early,
that's right.
Why will you be healthy late?
Young players that come to the league hurt tend to stay hurt.
Yeah, that's a worrisome development. He's got to lose some weight.
Are you in or are you out?
And I'm, you know, that's not me taking a jab. I love the kid. He's got to want to keep that balance and keep playing ball. You got to lose some weight. The Yankees are on the verge of being bounced. We hit this before in the ALCS. Complete no-show by the Astros for the second time in 3 years. They're down 3-1 after last night's horrendous 8th for them and us and me. 8-3 loss. While some Yankee fans have been pumping the crowd up, we're looking at our buddy Jimmy Randazzo. Yeah. Jimmy emailed me today. He said, hey, I have an extra ticket. You want to meet me in the Bronx? I can't. Otherwise, I would have met up with Jimmy and hung out with him tonight. The Bronx faithful, not exactly a whole lot to cheer about, nor have they been on their best behavior. Fans have thrown items on the field from the top tank, bottles, which is embarrassing. And a new report says that fans now berating Zach Greinke with chants about his previous bouts with depression and social anxiety. That's well chronicled, of course, for him. In or out, fans attacking a player's mental health is in or out.
This one's easy. This is out of bounds. Yeah. You don't do that. Maybe, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you're in Philadelphia. It doesn't matter. Like, it's okay. But the message gets out now. And 15 years ago, social media is not going to regurgitate it and shame those that even aren't Zach Greinke, that may relate to Zach Greinke. So easy for me, BT. This is out of bounds.
I totally agree with you. You know, this is going to sound bizarre, and I don't truly mean this, but a part of me does just to prove a point. I'd almost have more tolerance for some drunk dope who flung a bottle from the second tier, which completely is inexcusable, obviously, than somebody who thinks about somebody's mental weakness and exploits it willingly.
Agreed.
Like, that is, there's a darkness there. Not to make it more than it is, but, you know, when there's certain things that are off limits. Your wife, kids, diseases, disorders. Wake up, Yankee fans. You're embarrassing
the idea
and yourself.
The idea is to, like, get him off his game. He struggled in the first inning, but very quickly, he stabilized. 6 strikeouts and 4 1/3.
He wiggled out.
You're right.
I know. So he's a gamer. He's a tough kid.
It didn't have
guy.
The effect that they wanted it to have.
No.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague, how about this? Number one, Bama hosts the Tennessee Vols coming up this weekend in Tuscaloosa. Now, earlier in the week, Vols head coach Jeremy Pruitt joked about how they plan to stop the vaunted Bama offense.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, there's a high school team over in Arkansas. You know, they always onside kick. They never punt, you know, because I don't know. I've never seen them play. I always hear people talk about it. You know, we've really kind of considered that as our game plan. Just don't give them the ball, you know, if we can do that.
That's got to make the boosters willing to write another check. Hey, let's cut a check for that guy. All right. Last night's ESPN's Molly McGrath said she relayed a message from Tennessee players saying, quote, they're confident. They said this doesn't look like an Alabama team that can win a national championship, end quote. A whole lot of chirping from a group of people have done nothing, really. In or out, the Bama team this year is not as strong across the board as the tied teams that made college football title game each of the past four seasons.
Yeah, this is also very easy. It's in bounds,
yep.
But it doesn't matter because Tua's there, and Tua's a Heisman Trophy front runner right now. Josh Jacobs obviously is now with the Oakland Raiders, but Najee Harris is a good pounder. He's not the same kind of diverse running back. But the wide receiving core is just amazing.
Oh,
with Jerry Jeudy and Waddle, who's even a backup. They have talent. The one place you would worry about would be the defensive front, the front seven. There's no, I'll put this in quote, name. Mm-hmm. Like, just that name's not there this year. But they're still all five-star recruits.
Yep.
And especially when your offense is, you know, putting up as many points as Alabama is. I mean, they just pin their ears back and go after other opposing quarterback.
Yeah, of course their defense is taking a little bit of a hit, but they're not asked to win 13-7 games. This is an LSU a couple of years ago where they had to win kind of games like that. I know Jeremy Pruitt's, and by the way, my answer is inbounds, obviously. I know Jeremy Pruitt's kidding around. I don't know about that. I mean, you know, is that where we're at here? Let's just go. He's clearly kidding, but I prefer the route with a little more conviction. I mean, that was a little too flippant for me. I wasn't loving that. Hour two coming up. Tiki and Tierney. Shaq Barrett for the Bucks.